place in Matthew chapter 10, the book of Matthew chapter 10. I began a word study last Wednesday night on the words, He is able, or God is able. I did a word study on that, and we began that last week. We're going to continue with that this week, asking the Lord to bless in a great way. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you. Help us now, I pray. May the will of God be done tonight. May you do your will and your will only. We love you and thank you for all you've done for us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in the Word of God, we see the Lord God of heaven put on display for us to see. As a matter of fact, every book of the Bible is about God and how wonderful He is. One of the many things that about God that's put on display in the Word of God is His many attributes, His characteristics, His qualities, if you will. For instance, among these attributes are His faithfulness, or His love, or His grace, or His mercy, or His justice. You know, one of the great attributes of our Lord is that of His ability. In other words, the Bible tells us that He is able. And I'm glad tonight that it doesn't matter what you're going through, it doesn't matter how steep the mountain may seem to be, it doesn't matter how much pain it may be, it doesn't matter if I'm talking about if the wind's been knocked out of you, if you're on the mountain or in the valley, it doesn't matter. Our God is able to do anything He wants to do. Now, last week we gave you three things as we just marched through the Bible on what He's able to do. Now, I'm not going to get bogged down in this, God willing, but number one, we looked at in 2 Chronicles 25, that He's able to give thee much more than this, that when we obey Him, He'll give us much more than we ever sacrificed for Him. Secondly, He's able to deliver us in Daniel chapter 3. And then thirdly, He's able to abase or to humble us whenever we are consumed with pride. Now, we'll look at number 4 in our word study tonight. And I'm just going to go fairly quickly here to try to get through several of these tonight if I can. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 28. Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able," there He is, "who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." In other words, number 4, He is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now in this we see God is able, folks, to send people to a devil's hell for all eternity. Now this should therefore motivate us to stand in fear of Him and stand in awe of Him. Now note in this that hell is the destruction of both body and soul. It's not the annihilation of them. It's the destruction of them. Hell's an awful place, and we should stand in awe and stand in respect of God who is able to send those who are not His children to the lake of fire. Now, my friends, listen to me. Just in case, I don't want to ever be a preacher that ever takes this for granted, so I'm not going to take it for granted. If you're here tonight, let me warn you that hell is a real place. The lake of fire is a real place. I wish it wasn't, but it is. The Word of God teaches us in the book of Luke chapter 16 that it is a real, literal place. And I'm telling you in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, the Word of God says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Is it possible that there may be one here tonight who's come to a Wednesday night service at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, that in your heart you're not sure that heaven's your home? Let me make an announcement. Listen, you have one person that you need to fear. You need to fear God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, by the way, He doesn't want to do that with you. He wants to save you. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. But on the flip side of this, if we who are saved, let this motivate us to get out and shake the bushes. Because there is a God in heaven who sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of the world so that the world might be saved. But anybody who does not say yes to Him, He is able. It doesn't matter who they are. God's not impressed with people. It doesn't matter if they're a king or if they are pauper.
It doesn't matter if everybody knows them or nobody knows them. God is able to send people to a devil's hell. And we need to stand in fear of a God who has that kind of power. Now, folks, tonight it's interesting that Jesus said, and we can apply this to our day-to-day. He said, don't fear those who can only kill the body, but can't kill the soul. Apply that to today. Are there people today who try to get you to live in fear because they'll try to make you think they're going to blow you up, or they're going to destroy you, or they're going to kill you, or they're going to cut your head off? There's people still like that living today. And God says, Jesus said, don't fear those because their power is limited. He's saying, fear God whose power is not limited. So what we can take from this thought is that he is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We apply it in two ways. If you're lost, trust Christ as your Savior, because without him you will not go to heaven. Secondly, if you are saved, we need to fear him and stand in awe of him because his power is limitless. Now, point number five. Told you I'm just going to try to tap some of these on the head and go on. Turn over to the book of Luke chapter 3 with me. Luke chapter 3 and look at verse number 6. We're looking at the Bible phrase, God is able, or he is able. And we're noticing these things together, and we can learn some great truths by just touching on these different topics. The next thing we come to is Luke chapter 3 verse 6. The Word of God says, let's back up just a moment here just to kind of give us the context. Look at verse number 1. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, and tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. In other words, he's preaching repentance. He's preaching salvation. Now notice verse number 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. In other words, he's saying, don't rely on your ancestry. Notice what he says. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now this is a powerful thought here, and I'm praying the Lord helps me get it across with what it's meant here. He's preaching repentance toward God, salvation, if you will. And he's saying to these people, he's saying, you have been commanded to repent. And he said, I'm telling you one thing. By the way, John the Baptist was a man. He didn't care what anybody thought of him. And he looked up and he said, by the way, he said, don't you be guilty of saying our ancestor is Abraham, because our God is able to raise up stones as his children. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying, don't put stock in who your parents or who your ancestors are. He's saying we have no reason to depend on our external privileges. Because God does not need us, and he'll be just fine without us. See, he can secure honor without me, folks. Now, he wants my honor, but he is not impressed by, excuse me, who my ancestors are. In other words, he's not going to say, well, his ancestor was there, let me just let him in the family. It doesn't work that way. John is saying you must personally make the decision to come in. It doesn't matter if you had Abraham as a father, if you had Abraham as an ancestor, a wonderful man of God, taking nothing away from him, but that Christianity does not automatically transfer down the bloodline. Powerful thought. God is able. He's saying, don't put your stock in your ancestors. He's saying, trust Christ. Be saved for yourself, because your ancestors, and depending on that, is no better than a rock. There's no power in it. Everybody see what I'm saying? There's number five. Let's go to number six. This might be the last one I get to, which is fine. But number six is found in the book of Romans chapter 4. If you'll turn there with me, please. Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter 4, and look at verse number 13. The Word of God says in Romans 4:13, it says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there's no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, talking about Abraham here now, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now notice verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, in context here, he's speaking of the birth of Isaac. And it's saying in verses 20 and 21 that when God told him this, he didn't stagger at it through unbelief. But in verse number 20, he didn't stagger at it, but he was strong in faith. Why? Verse 21, because he was fully persuaded that whatever God promised, he's able to perform. So there's point number six. He is able to perform his promises. Now, again, now what I want you to do is I want you to flip back with me just a moment to the book of Genesis. Let's go back and look at this account just a moment and let this sink in what the Lord is speaking of here in Romans chapter 4. Now, he's talking in context about Sarah, who's 90 years old, and Abraham, who's 100. And God had promised them a seed. Now they got ahead of God. She gave Abraham Hagar. Ishmael was born. They got ahead of the Lord. God comes back. Look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 1. Now let's look at this promise together. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Flip over to chapter 17, verse 15. 17, verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife,
shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Skip to chapter 18, verse 1. I'm reading a lot of scripture here, but I'm doing it on purpose. And I hope you're getting it here. I'm looking at this promise that Romans chapter 4 was referring to. Genesis 18, verse number 1. The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, this Abraham. Lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou said. Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh? Saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Look at chapter 21, verse number 1. Chapter 21, verse number 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I know that's a lot of reading, but that's a blessing right there, folks. You know, the bottom line in this, now get this. Here Abraham is. God has promised him that he's going to give him a son with he and Sarah. They get ahead of the Lord. Ever been there? Nobody's ever struggled with that in this church, have you? Surely not. Join the crowd, right? We've all been on that bandwagon. The fact of the matter is, they get ahead of the Lord. Hagar, Ishmael's born. God comes back and visits Abraham and says, I want to give you a son. He falls on his face and laughs and says, Oh, that Ishmael may live before you. And he says, Ishmael's not my promise, Abraham. My promise is for you and Sarah to have a boy. And his name's going to be Isaac. And in his seed, that's where you're going to be blessed. He goes away, comes back later. Here they are. Abraham has another vision. These angels are here talking with him. And as he's there, Sarah gets in on this conversation. She's back in the back, in the tent, listening in. And none of you ladies are ever guilty of eavesdropping. She's eavesdropping here. She's listening in. And she hears that the Lord says, I'm going to visit Sarah. And she's going to have a child. She laughs in herself. And the very next verse, God says, Why is she laughing? She wasn't laughing out loud. But God knew she was laughing. And God said, I'm going to give her a son. And in chapter 21, you know what we find out? We find out that he was able to perform that promise. And let me say this to you. If he can perform that promise, he can perform any other promise he makes. Let me ask you a question. Now, I'm not going to get any further than this, which is fine. Let me come down here with you just a moment. I want you to pretend. As a matter of fact, Brother Leroy is sitting right here. Let's say that Brother Leroy has something and he knows his character. He knows he's able to do what he's getting ready to tell me he's going to do. He knows that it's in his power to do it. And that he's going to do it no matter whether I believe it or not. Okay?
And let's say he tells me that he's going to come over to my house. I'm fishing here. He's going to come over to my house and take my truck and go wash it. Detail it, wax it, the whole nine yards. I'm bypassing you, brother. Just kidding. Anyway, and he tells me this. And we know he's got the power to do it. We know he's going to do it. He knows it. He knows he's going to do that. But all of a sudden, he's told me that. And I start going around saying, I don't think I can trust him. I just don't think I can trust him. You know what that's doing? You know what it's doing? It's attacking him. Am I right or wrong? I'm attacking him. Because what I'm saying is, even though he gave me his word, I don't believe he has the character to do it. Now, this slices every one of us up in pieces. Every time God gives us a promise, when we don't believe it, we are attacking him. We are telling him, you don't have the character to do what you say you'll do. Now, that does not make it any easier to believe. Amen. You're with me, right? It doesn't make it any easier whenever you're in a valley to say, I believe. Wait a minute. But in the valley, you have a decision to make. Do you know God is a God of His Word? Do you know that what God says He will do, He will do? Do you know that? Do we say yes with our actions? We learn from the Word of God that what He has promised, He is able to perform it. And if he tells you he's going right, don't go to the left. He's not there. If he tells you he's going to be with you no matter what, don't doubt it when you're in the valley. If he tells you he's going to supply your needs, don't doubt it even when it doesn't make sense. Follow the Lord. Believe God. God keeps His promises. You may not and I may not, but God will never go back on His promises. Never. Not one promise has He ever gone back on, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will keep His promises. He's able to perform His promises. Question, how many promises are in the Word of God? I challenge you. Whenever you're doing your Bible reading and you're reading through the Bible, I challenge you to start picking out the promises and see if you can keep up count. I will. Now, some of them are conditional, you understand. There's conditional and unconditional. In other words, there's some He says, I'll do no matter what you do. There's others He said, I'll do if you do this. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to separate conditional from unconditional there. But I challenge you to look at the promises. And every promise He says, He's able to perform. Amen. I'm telling you, that right there is enough to carry you through right there. That if He's promised you something, He will perform it. He has the ability to do that. Aren't you glad He's able to keep His word? I mean, do you realize that you can promise me the world, but it is possible that something like an emergency could happen and you not show up if you tell me you're going to show up at a certain time? Not your fault. It's just part of our inability, our insecurity. We're not God. But God sees the end from the beginning and everything between and behind and up and down and every way before. And when He says, I will do that, then He will do just that. I'm telling you, how simple is this? How simple is this? I'm calling upon our church. Let's believe God. Let's just believe the Lord. I mean, He has promised us some wonderful, wonderful things. We heard one of them in the prayer. call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you believe that? Hey, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Hey, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Go ye into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. Amen, he says. I'm telling you, get a good dose of the promises of God and go to the prayer closet and say, God, you have promised what you... right here, this is a promise from you. Now, I know you're able to do it. Give me the faith to believe it and do it for your glory. And I promise you, folks, he'll keep his word. He'll move heaven, earth, hell, and everything in between to keep his word. I give you this, I've given this to you before, but I give it to you again, just to illustrate to you that many times we expect things out of ourselves that we don't even expect out of the Lord. Remember the story I was telling you about Judson when he was younger than he is? He's 7 years old now, and now it's almost that I need to get up on the bed and jump off in his arms. You understand what I'm saying? By the way, I have no respect in this church. People, I mean, they just, I had a family. By the way, I'm just teasing here. Had a family tell me, he knows who he is. I expect a steak dinner for this. Who said when I took my shoes off right here at the, you know, preaching at the burning bush, that when he looked up in the pulpit, all he could see was my two eyes going back. And you know who you are, don't you, brother? Steak dinner! Amen! Anyway, by the way, they're fitting right in here, by the way, so that's good. Anyway, I remember, and I've told this before, but just in case you haven't heard, if you have, just bear with me. When Judson was standing on the end of the bed in our room, he was probably Jalen's age, I'm guessing. Maybe a little bit older. She's 2 and a half or so. He was probably around that age. He was standing at the foot of our bed, and our bed's a little bit off the ground. Not too far, but a little bit. I'm getting myself tickled tonight, folks. I'm telling you, what I'm trying to do is beat you to the punch. You see what I'm saying? But anyway, he was standing on the edge of the bed, and I was standing down here in front of him, and he was sitting there doing this. He wanted to jump bad. But he just didn't know if it hurt him or not. I was standing right in front of him, and I held my arms down. I didn't do this. I just held my arms down, and I said, son, jump, daddy'll catch you. See, the only thing he had was my word. You see what I'm saying? That's the only thing he had was my word. I didn't go, jump, daddy'll catch you. No, I just went like that. I said, jump. I said, son, jump, daddy will catch you. And he was doing this. And lo and behold, before I realized it, he jumped. Now, I want him in midair, and I want to pause right there. Can you see him there? Okay? Can you see him? Use your imagination. And I want to take the camera off of him and put it on me. What do you think it did to me when he jumped? Excuse me. What do you think it did for me when he jumped? You know what that boy was saying without ever saying a word? He was saying, I trust you, Daddy. I believe you will do exactly what you said. Now, you know what I did? Some of you are ahead of me, aren't you? I dropped him. No, I didn't drop him, okay? I called him just like I said I would. Are you listening to me? I would have moved anything that got in my way to catch that boy. Because I gave him my word and I gave him my promise. Now, what makes you think that you and I would do any more than God? Does he have you at the edge of the bed? And it it's scary when you look down. You don't know what's down there. And oh, you're just kind of rocking back and forth right here. But you have a promise of God. God's saying, jump, son, I'll catch you. How much time do we waste doing this? When we jump and say, God, I believe you. He'll move heaven, earth, hell, Satan, every demon in hell to keep his word in your life. Amen. We just need to believe him. Amen. No doubt about it.
I want us to bow for a word of prayer. And I want to do something a little bit different tonight. She's coming to the piano. They're getting ready here. As soon as they get prepared, I want them to begin to play through softly. Father, I love you tonight and thank you for your goodness to us. Help us now, I pray. Help me to guide this invitation the way that you see fit. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're playing through. Maybe somebody's here that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior. As I was preaching that he's able to destroy both soul and body in hell, maybe God has your attention. If that's you, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you how Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for your sin. Repent of your sin and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. He'll save you tonight. Or maybe you're here tonight and you say, Jody, I really need God to help me to believe his promises. Maybe you say, Jody, I'm going through a trying time right now and I really need the Lord to help me to believe him. It's hard, I know that. But you say, Jody, pray for me. I need the Lord to help me to believe him. Be honest, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God help you. May the Lord help you. Maybe you feel led to come and pray. If that's you, why don't you get up from your seat right now? Come on. Come on now. Come on right now. I'm going to call upon people in this congregation. I'm going to have just a brief prayer meeting here, maybe 2 or 3 minutes or so. I'm guessing on the time. The life of many of our people who feel led to do this, if you want to come and pray on your knees here, if you can't kneel down, then maybe just have a seat. I want you to come and pray for these upcoming big days. I want you to come and pray for this team and coaches day. I want you to pray for this thank you tribute. I don't want anybody to feel pressure to come. But if you feel like the Lord is happy to come, I want you to come. Let's kneel around the altar. Dr. Carter, he'll be feeling well when he comes. Pray for these folks who've been invited that they'll come. Let's pray and ask the Lord to be with us. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Father, help us, I pray tonight. Rejoice in who you are, that you are able to do what you've called us to do. You're able to perform your promises. Pray for these big days coming up, Lord. It's all in vain unless you show up. Lord, you know my heart. And I thank you for how you've worked in my heart. And I pray that you'll help us to do our part. Help us to work hard, Lord, to make sure we're clean. Not to come here with sin in our hearts and lives. May you be completely unlimited in these services. Bless Dr. Carter, fill him with your spirit and power. Strength. Pray for the thank you tribute coming up, the cantata, the gift Sunday, all these days coming up. A lot of special emphasis. We're trying to reach people with the gospel. Help us, I beg of you. Oh God. Oh God. We're calling upon you. We need you. Help us now, I beg of you. Please, please, please. Help us to be in the attitude of prayer. All week long. Gospel have free course. Take firm root in people's hearts and lives. Keep the devil away from this place, I pray, in unity well. Pray for your will to be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Folks are staying right here at the altar. to ask our deacons, if you wouldn't mind, maybe the deacons' wives, if you're here, maybe our staff was here, some other people may feel like it. Mr. Rim, his dear wife, his family's here, his son, daughter-in-law. I'd like you to gather around him. He's right here. He's right here knelt. He's heard this news today. I thank you for his strong faith. Thank you for his dear wife, his precious son, his precious daughter-in-law. God, what a trying time this must be. I've not been there.
About Praise the Lord. No doubt about it. Sweet spirit, don't you know?
Yeah.
I like to be around where the Lord shows up.
Right,
let's not take that for granted, folks. We got a great church here. Praise God.
That's right. Yeah.
I want more of it, don't you?
Yes, right.
I want more of it. I don't want to hinder this spirit. He's good in you, brother. Praise God. Amen. We'll take care of that Sunday night, wait. Okay? We'll take care of Sunday night. I want to lean on this high road. Praise the Lord. No doubt about it. I'm going to ask. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
No doubt about it.
Praise God.
No doubt about it. Brother Bob Bryant, sir, if you wouldn't mind to take this and pray for us. Go ahead and dismiss all the bus workers, if you wouldn't mind, and go ahead and make your way out. Be coming much in prayer. Be praying for Saturday night, 6 o'clock. Sunday all day long. Let's pray for the Lord. I believe the Lord wants to do something, don't you? Let's pray the Lord will do it. Brother Bob, sir, please. Thank you, sir.
Father, we thank you again for another great privilege that we have to come to the throne of grace tonight. We thank you for your love, for your care. Most of all, we thank you for your promises that you will always be with us in every problem, every situation, all the way. We thank you for that. And we just pray now that you'll be with Ann and her husband. We just pray that at this time that you would comfort them and give them the peace of mind that they need. Again, we just pray now that you'll dismiss us with thy blessings. Again, we thank you for thy presence tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.